We're in the second week of our series called Symbols of Christmas. And the point of this message series is to get us to open our eyes this season. We want to open our eyes to the things that we see all throughout this season, but make sure that when we see them, we don't just see them and pass by and think, well, that's just something I see every Christmas. I want us to see them. I want us to hear them. I want to experience them. And I want us to make sure that we tie them back to the Bible story of Christ and his coming. Because if we're not careful, we will get caught up in just stuff. We'll get caught up in busyness, and we'll just get caught up in, oh, I got to buy all these gifts, and boy, the stores are so crowded, and all these, and we just miss Jesus in Christmas. And isn't that horrible? We miss Jesus right in the middle of Christmas. And so last week I spoke to you about angels. I said, if you see an angel on the tree, or if you see an angel in the nativity scene, I want you to remember that the angels signify to us that God announced that he was going to become man. And he told Mary and he told Joseph that this Jesus came to save the people from their sins. And so divinity, we talked about divinity coming into history last week. And that's what I want you to, I saw some angels this week. I was trying to open my eyes for it. I walked around, saw some. There were some at Target. I saw some, you know, not Target. I was at Home Depot. Why did I say Target? I don't know. I was at Home Depot. I didn't go to Target this week. That was a horrible idea. So I went to Home Depot and I saw some. And then I saw a nativity scene, you know, and I saw the angel. And I said, God, thank you that you have sent your son from heaven to come to earth. So that's the point of our series in the next couple of weeks is when we see or when we hear something to remember Jesus this Christmas season. Today we're going to talk about music. I love Christmas music. Do you like Christmas music? We sang some great songs today, and we're going to sing some tonight. And I got the Sirius channel that is the country Christmas. Let me tell you, hallelujah, that's a good one. Okay, so I like country music. It's fine, all right? So the Sirius 58, if you're looking, you can look at that, and you can hear country Christmas. It's really good, okay? I got a couple of favorites. Christmas songs. Now I'm going to tell you mine, and that's just the end of it. You don't get any input because I'm the one standing up here, so it's a good deal. Okay, later you can tell me. All right, if you're like, those are horrible, I like mine better. So my favorite non-church Christmas song is Nat King Cole, the Christmas song. Okay, chestnuts roasting on an open fire. I've never had a chestnut roasting on an open fire, but when Nat comes out and sings about it, I want one. I want to try one. Jack Frost nipping at your nose and all that stuff. What a great song, isn't it? He comes out and sings that. I'm just like, Christmas! It's Christmas. I like it. It's a great song. Reminds me of a lot of great, you know, a lot of great memories. We had it on a record. Y'all remember those? Record? Yeah. So, there you go. Now, my favorite church song, we sang it today. Thanks, Ben. O Come, Emmanuel. Probably one of my favorite, well-written, just beautiful Christmas song with a wonderful message. Emmanuel, God with us. And what a great truth. And our band did a great job on it today. I really appreciate them singing that. I love it. If you like that song, Francesca Battistelli, which is hard for me to say, came out with a Christmas album. It may have been new, Steve. Y'all may have it at Lifeway. Is that a new one? This pretty new. She has O Come Emmanuel. It's really, really good. She did a great job with it. And so if you like it, you might enjoy that. Well, you probably have favorites, right? And so when you think of Christmas songs, they probably take you to a place, don't they? Or a time? Or a memory of something that was special to you, maybe from childhood or maybe even from adulthood? What is it about songs? They just evoke so much emotion in us, don't they? And they make us think of places and things and people. And man, I just love music. And there's none better than Christmas music, is there? You know, there's a couple of songs in the Christmas story straight from Scripture that deserve our attention today. I really want us to take a moment and look at these today because the Bible is full of songs. Hey, I just took you through a 9-week series through Psalms. Remember that? Full of songs. The Bible is a book of songs. And the Christmas story is no different. So if you have your Bible, Luke chapter 1, we're going to continue where we left off last week. Luke chapter 1. And you say, well, Justin, I don't think I know of but one song. I'm going to share with you today. I believe there are two songs at the end of Luke chapter 1 that are, or the middle of chapter 1 that we should give our attention to today. And so let's set the stage first. This is immediately following the angel's visit last week. The angel Gabriel came and visited Mary and told her, Mary, you're going to have a son. You're going to call him Jesus. The angel also visited Joseph and told Joseph, take Mary to be your wife, because the one that is going to be born of her is going to save the people from their sins, and he's from God. And so Mary and Joseph came together and Joseph decided not to divorce Mary, as we talked about, and he took her as his wife, and they beginning that process at this point in the story. We also mentioned that there was another miraculous birth that had been announced right before the one to Mary. It was to an older couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Elizabeth was barren. She was going to have a child. That child was going to be John the Baptist, who was going to prepare the way for the Savior. And so these two miraculous stories come together in a little visit here at Scripture that we'll look at together. Verse 39 of Luke chapter 1, let's read this together. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. And Mary remained with her about 3 months, and she returned to her home. May God bless the reading of his word today. We continue on in the story. I mentioned last week this amazing story, a story that is full of miracle, and a story that is full of majesty, but a story that is foundational to our faith. It is understanding that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, born sinless, lived a sinless life, died a sinless death, was raised, and now sits at the right hand of God that is foundational to our faith. And that begins here in the birth story. It's the foundation of who we are. And we mentioned last week as well that if you couldn't believe this miracle, then it's going to be difficult for you to believe any other miracle in the Bible. This is the basis of God and the basis of Christ. And so we come to this story with belief and with understanding of the importance of this birth that had been announced through the angels that had come and had spoken to these folks, these ordinary folks, and brought God out of heaven and into earth to offer us salvation. Why would God send his son? Why would God send his son from heaven to the world? John Gill, who was a writer of Puritan descent, said this, and it's very much echoes John 3:16. He said, the moving cause of the incarnation or the birth of Christ is the love of the Father and of the Son to mankind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. So you see, God sent his Son because he loves mankind. So we pick up the story here. And it's not unexpected to see Mary going to visit her relative Elizabeth. The angel Gabriel had told her, hadn't he, that even Elizabeth, your relative, is now pregnant with child. Mary must have been caught off guard by this as well. You understand that there was not great communication at this day. She did not text. They did not text each other a pic of the ultrasound and say, you know, this is happening to me. What about you? Not to make light of it, but you understand this would have been a difficult thing for them to communicate to each other across some distance. They were both pregnant. But maybe they didn't even know. I don't know. We don't know that when they come together, there was even a realization that these things had happened to them. Mary certainly knew only because the angel has told her. We don't know what Elizabeth knew. Now, it's so unusual for two pregnant ladies to come together and have a conversation. I remember when I was a first-time dad. You remember this, guys? If you're a dad, your wife is pregnant for the first time. If you hadn't been there yet, just hang on, dudes, okay? Chris, we can talk about this later, okay? You don't know what to say a lot. Is Becky in here? Just checking. Drew's not feeling well. She may not be in here. So I'm going to fully admit this. I did not know what to say a lot of times. Becky would come and say, this is happening, or I feel this way, and I'm like, you want to go out to eat? You know? Something. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to say sometimes. And so God in his infinite wisdom provided other pregnant ladies to come alongside her and give, they could talk about these things together. Guys, we're just ignorant. I'm sorry about these things. You know, we don't fully understand, and they needed another lady to go talk to, and God is good, and other ladies were pregnant, and I'm like, y'all should go to spa, you know, or so, you know, and do some stuff. And it was great. So, it's not unusual for Elizabeth and Mary to come together and have a conversation, is it? They're related, they're both, you know, so they come together and it's just a conversation. Everything's normal until verse 41. Mary walks in the door. Look what happened. I hope you have your Bible open. Mary walks in the door to their house. Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary. And what happened? The baby leaped in her womb. Leaped in her womb. It's hard for us to kind of imagine that. I remember the baby kick thing. You know, you could put your hand and the baby would kind of touch you or kick you. Leaping, I'm not sure that Becky would have been prepared for. See, I mean, that's different, right? This is miraculous. This is something that had happened. And Elizabeth may have said, this is odd. This is, something's happening. How can we explain this? The end of that verse says what? Elizabeth was filled with what? The Holy Spirit. I mentioned to you last week, divinity coming into history. Do you see that happening in this story? How God is taking something ordinary and turning it into something more? Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit. Now I want to show you something interesting. I hope you have your Bible. Flip back one page, or maybe it's on the same page. This is not on the screen. Luke chapter 1, verse 15, 14 and 15. The angel was talking to Zechariah about the one to be born, and he said this. He said, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he'll be great before the Lord. He must not drink wine or strong drink. And look at this. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. Who's the baby in the womb that just leaped? John the Baptist, who is proclaiming the Savior's birth before he's even born. Don't miss the power of the Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 1. For you see, God was at work even when these children were not even physically present in the world. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The baby within her womb, John the Baptist, was filled with the Holy Spirit, testifying to the power of the one that Mary was about to bear. You have to think about what's happening in history at this time, too. There has been a long period of silence from God. The people of Israel are very oppressed. They are under the rule of the Romans. They are basically prisoners in their own land. And God has not spoken through the prophets, and things are still happening, but there seems to have been this hundreds of years of silence. And when God comes and speaks, people had hoped that God would come and speak maybe in the temple or in a palace, and God would come and like rain down some fire from heaven or something, and everybody would just be like, now we see God is here, he's present. Yet where does he come? To a little dusty village, to a little young girl, and to an old couple, Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth, and announces that something amazing is going to come about, and God is going to become man. See, in this part of the story, we realize that God uses ordinary people. God uses people like you and me, who are filled with the Holy Spirit, to testify to truth and to live out the truth of the gospel, live out the truth of the Bible. Elizabeth's words then come in verse 42, after the baby had leaped and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you that this is the first song, and it's Elizabeth's song. It doesn't get a heading that says Elizabeth's song. By the way, those headings weren't in the original Bible. Those are not scripture, okay? So don't confuse that. Just because it doesn't have a heading doesn't mean it's not a song. Elizabeth sings a song filled with the Holy Spirit. She says and begins, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." She mentions that God had been blessed Mary because she had been given the privilege of carrying and giving birth to the Son of God. We mentioned last week, it's not because Mary was perfect or holy. It was because God had chosen her. God had entered into a normal young girl's life and had given her the power to do something extraordinary. The middle of verse 43, 44, Elizabeth even recognizes that the one that is in her womb is the Lord. Why is it granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come and visit me? And she mentioned again the baby leaping. And then verse 45 is important because it ties back to last week. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her. Do you remember the end of the story last week? Mary said, "Lord, let it be to me." And we talked about how that was submission and belief and faith. And Elizabeth sings a song and says, "Blessed are you, Mary, the one who believed." Even though it sounds crazy, even though it doesn't sound like something could ever happen like that, you believed. Blessed are you, Mary. And so Elizabeth's song, maybe in Mary's heart, reinforces to her what the angel had said and gave her encouragement. Have you ever been encouraged by a song or by the word of the Spirit from someone? I have. So you take that word of encouragement. Mary does this a lot. The Bible says that she treasures or she ponders them where? In her heart. So Elizabeth speaks and encourages her. What about Mary? I don't know about you. Sometimes when I get overwhelmed in a good way and filled with the Spirit and excited about what God is doing, I might just burst out in song. Now, if you see me driving down the road, it's okay. I'm fine. You know, just look away. Just look away. It just means I'm good. I'm excited. I like to sing. You turn on. Do you like to sing sometimes when you get excited? You know you do in private sometimes. Even if you're like, you don't want to hear it. God likes your voice. It's okay. Just sing a song of joy. I love to sing a song of joy sometimes when I get overwhelmed or I get filled with the Spirit. Lord, thank you for what you've done for me. Thank you for who you are. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Or whatever song comes to your head, you just get filled up and you can't help but sing a song. That's what I feel Mary's got right here. She's came this distance. She's got this word from Elizabeth, and she can't help but sing. And she sings this beautiful piece of poetry, really. It's a poem. It's a song. Where do you think Mary would have got that from? Mary was a good Hebrew girl, wasn't she? She would have been well-versed in the Psalms and in the Old Testament. And as you know from our study in Psalms, the book of Psalms was a book of praises that many of Hebrew children would have memorized some of them, many of them. And so she pours forth this song that's very, very similar to Psalm 103, Psalm 111, and especially Psalm 34. Psalm 34, if you have time to look at it, is almost the beginning of it. It's very close to what Mary says. And she begins to pour out her heart, and she says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." The top of your Bible may say the word Magnificat. You see that? The Magnificat. I can't say that very well. It's Latin, and I don't speak a lot of Latin. I apologize. That word is literally just translated kind of that first line of Mary's song. It's a Latin term from the Latin translation of the Bible from many years ago. It's this: "My soul magnifies the Lord." We sang a song, in the beginning of the service where we talked about magnifying the Lord. There's an old hymn I like. You may have sang it, or your grandparents may have sang it to you, "Blessed Assurance." And it says in the chorus, "This is my story, and this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." Isn't that Mary? That's Mary right here. "This is my story, and this is my song." When our minds and our hearts are full of the things of God, hear me, the things of God come out of our mouth. When our minds and our hearts are full of the things of God, that's what comes out of our mouth. When our minds and our hearts are full of nonsense, guess what comes out? Nonsense. When our minds and our hearts are full of the things of self, then self pours out of our mouths. So Mary's heart and mind were filled. We find in Scripture over and over that she was filled with the things of God and treasured them in her heart. And guess what pours out of her mouth? Do not underestimate, this is side note number one, do not underestimate what you put into your heart and into your mind, because many times that's what comes out. Be careful what you put in the minds of your, in the ears of your children, because many times that's what comes out. That's another sermon for another day. Mary's heart was full of the things of God, and that's what poured out of her. Mary sings of greatness, power, majesty, holiness. Luke chapter 6, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's exactly what Mary did here. She sings a song of total renewal and takes the posture, much like David in the Psalms, of a worshiper, because she begins her song simply by worshiping God for who He is. "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." You ever thought about this? When Jesus was on the cross and Mary was there, His mother, when He was on the cross, He was dying for her sin too. You ever think about that? Yeah, He died for your sin, and He died for my sin. He died for Mary's sin. She calls God her son, her Savior. All generations would call her blessed, not because of her own holiness, but because of the Son that God had granted her to bear. I'm going to give you two words today I want to share with you from the song. If you want to take something with you, these are the two words. Our song this Christmas, and we'll look at this in the verses here in just a minute, should sing of God's might and of God's mercy. This is what Mary sings. This is what Mary sings to us in this song. She sings this about God, our Savior. "God, my Savior," she says. "These things have happened to fulfill the words of the angel, to fulfill the words of the prophet," she says. "For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name." He says in verse 51, Mary says, "He has shown strength with His arm." What does God's arm look like? Yeah, does God have arms? Could you imagine God's arm? You know, that would be cool. God has arms. God's not really a human form. Yet we see these images because we struggle to put into words what it is that God looks like. But it's a symbol of His might. It's used in the prophets a lot, Isaiah and a lot of the Old Testament prophets, the arm of God or the hand of God. And so we see God's might in this display of power that he gives. What a mystery. God begins to reverse the human opinions on what is significant and what is mighty, because we certainly have a definite definition of what we think might is, don't we? We think maybe physical strength or mental strength or wealth or education or something like that, which gives us might. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23, I have that on the screen, says that, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord, not in the might of man or the riches in man or the education of man." God doesn't see things the way that we see things. God is mighty in the fact that he scatters the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. Verse 51, he has scattered the proud. What does that mean? He has taken those who think that they have it all figured out, who think that they are mighty, who think that they are worthy, and he has humbled them. I talked to you before from the Psalms that we are here for just a moment, and then we're gone. And yet God is eternal and everlasting. And so God takes our ideas of might and turns it into something that instead should be glorifying to him and to his might. We're not that big of a deal. And he mentions to us that even the rich he sends away empty in verse 53. God would offer a financial workshop and you would not like it, because he would say, "You have nothing. Everything that you have is because of me." And we don't like to hear that sometimes, do we? Because we believe that in our own strength we have accumulated so much and become so great. And God says, "No. No. Everything that I have, everything that you have, is because of me and because of my might." Not only is he mighty, he is also merciful in the fact that he exalts those who are humble. He fills the hungry, this song says, with good things. This is not just referring to physically hungry, but a spiritual hunger. I hope many of you have paid attention to the world around us and you realize that we have more money, especially in America, than we ever have. We have more education than we've ever had. And yet we are still as spiritually hungry as we've ever been. You understand that money and education are not the answers to being filled. Not at all. There is a great need in the heart of man, and that need is for a Savior. And so Mary says, he humbles those who are proud. He is merciful to those who are hungry. He even helps the helpless. She mentions at the end of the song that he has helped his servant Israel, and she speaks of Abraham. For you see, I mentioned a long period of silence. They were waiting on a word of the fulfillment of the scripture. And the baby that was in her womb was to be that fulfillment. What a song. What a song. You think, "Well, Justin, it's hard for me to relate to that. It's hard for me to kind of understand that. I understand a lot of poetry, a lot of symbolism and stuff like that." So I'm going to try to whittle it down, if you will, just to the two words, to might and majesty, and how that can take it with us. I want you to enjoy Christmas songs. I want you to enjoy chestnuts roasting on an open fire. I want you to sing Jingle Bells and whatever else you like. But when you come to a song that speaks of the Savior, whatever, "O Come, Emmanuel," or whatever, "Silent Night," whatever you like, I want you to stop this season. I want you to hear that song. I want you to just pause for just a moment and say, "God, thank you for showing your might among those of us who are lowly. Thank you for showing your might by sending heaven down to earth. And thank you that in sending heaven down to earth, you are merciful to us and you offer us salvation through your Son. Mighty and merciful. I want you to just plant that in your head this season. I want us to meditate on it. Because listen, if you're like me, you've got a busy couple of weeks ahead. You got stuff and events, and you can get caught up like all of us in the busyness and lose the majesty and lose the song. We can celebrate Christmas and make it into just a day. Or we can use it as a season of remembrance. And that's what I'm challenging you to do today, to remember, to meditate, to learn, to hunger, to thank God for the privilege of being a part of His beautiful plan of salvation. Charles Wesley, you may have heard his name, great hymn writer, great theologian, wrote a song that I like. I'll share this one with you in closing. We'll be done. He said, "Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set your people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation and joy of every longing heart." What a beautiful song of our Savior this season. Let's bow together as we close. I invite you today simply to just pause for a moment as we meditate just on the words that God's word today. Nothing I've said is to add or take away from that, so I pray that you would just hear God's word today as you look at Mary's song and see the mightiness and the mercy of God our Father in sending His Son. And today I pray that you would take a moment, and I would imagine if you're here today, you got a lot of things on your mind. Let's be honest, we got a lot of distractions. Take a moment and pause and thank Him for sending His Son. Thank you for humbling the proud and for exalting the weak. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, don't leave here today without at least speaking to someone about that. There are prayer partners on both sides. I'll be here in the front. I'd love to talk with you about how you can know Him. There's no better time of the year than to meet the Savior than right now. Maybe you just need to come and pray today. Lord, forgive me for turning Christmas into something that you never intended it to be. I pray you might do that today. The altar is always open. Our prayer partners are always available. Even after the service, if you need to speak to them, come and do that. You be obedient today to what it is that the Spirit leads you to. And so, Father, we pray today these things. We pray that you would be glorified in our quietness and in our response. Lord, we're going to sing about how great you are, and we don't do that, I pray, just with words, but with our hearts, that we would cry out to you, "Great are you, Lord, worthy of our praise, worthy of our adoration. Lord, you're mighty and you're merciful, and we love you." And Lord, may we sing today with our lives when we leave this place. On our prayers that you'd be glorified in our response to you. So keep us humble, keep us hungry. Make us obedient today as we stand and sing. In Jesus' name.